ये इंटरनेशनल गेम है, इसमें दिमाग से खेला जाता है, गुस्से से नहीं।
हेलो एवरीबॉडी एंड वेलकम टू एपिसोड 4 ऑफ हूप दर्शन।
Hoop Darshan.
Yeah, it's amazing to be back doing Hoop Darshan again. The response to our previous episode featuring Vishesh Raghuvanshi, the Indian basketball star, was actually pretty overwhelming. So thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in, for checking out our podcast. And if you guys are joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. And I hope that you have a fun ride with us on this podcast, that the first ever basketball podcast made in India, made for India, made by Indians, I guess. But,
yes.
True to our constitution. Anyway, I have with me, as always, my friend Karan Madhok, who's popularly known in the internet as Hoopistani. How are you doing, Karan?
Hello. Hey, Kaushik. Great to be back on Hoop Darshan once more.
So what's the time like in Beijing right now?
It's almost 11 p.m.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. You've been following the playoffs. Do you have to like wake up really early for it or something like that?
No, it's actually better. It's whenever I'm in India, you know, the East Coast games usually are earlier. They're 5:30 in the morning. Whereas here, the first game of the day for me would be 7:30, 8 in the morning. So it's with breakfast.
You know? Oh, that's awesome.
I don't have to wake up at an ungodly hour to watch the games, which is awesome. Great. Because whenever I'm back in India, it's always, you know, 4:35, and then you're pretty much your previous night plans are just done. There's no point in making any plans if there's an early playoff game.
Absolutely. And when it's like the first round of playoffs, we're screwed for like 2 weeks straight, aren't we?
I mean, I'm not complaining. It's
yeah.
If that's what you call screwed, that is the best possible way of getting screwed.
That's true. So you've been enjoying the playoffs. What's been like your very quickly? What's your favorite story so far?
I tweeted this yesterday. I have like 4 favorite stories.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, what Steph Curry is doing out in Golden State is just flat out ridiculous. Like, did you see that shot that he hit over Anthony Davis?
Unbelievable.
To tie the game.
Unbelievable. Like,
I mean, that guy is on another ridiculous level. He's been great. I think the Spurs, the last couple of games where Tim Duncan just looks like a 21-year-old and Kawhi Leonard has, you know...
What, you mean the ages? You mean Tim Duncan ages?
Well, actually, I should say robots don't age, so...
Yeah.
There's no glitch in the system.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Kawhi Leonard just makes us all swoon much more over him by each passing day.
It's amazing.
And out in the East, I'm loving the fact that Derrick Rose is looking like kind of almost like Derrick Rose of the old again,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. I think it really makes the Eastern Conference, well, at least gives a little bit more intrigue to a conference that otherwise really has none.
That's true.
And
I'm glad you didn't mention the terrible Toronto versus Washington series.
I was gonna get to that. Actually, that's it. I love Paul Pierce. What, like, just his swag is off the hook. For him to just come out and say it and
yeah.
then back it up. Paul Pierce is still doing his thing at this age.
That's true, and it's about the only interesting thing from that series. Like, it makes me tear my hair apart. I don't have much right now on my head, but it really does. It's such irritating basketball. So we'll talk about the NBA playoffs maybe a little bit with our special guest today, who we'll introduce to you in just a bit. But I wanted Karan, a couple of quick thoughts on some hot button topics, so as I say, regarding Indian basketball. One of which, of course, is that Sim Buller, the first player of Indian descent in the NBA, he's going to be visiting India soon. That's a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as surprising that he's coming over pretty much right after the NBA season ended. He signed his, if you guys weren't aware, Sim became the first player of Indian descent. He's a Canadian. Became the first player of Indian descent to be signed to an NBA team. He only held a 10-day contract with the Sacramento Kings. And Sim will be coming to India sometime next month. The details aren't clear yet, but he'll probably visit Mumbai and back to Punjab, see his family, go to the Golden Temple. He usually does that.
Okay.
So If there are any fans out in Amritsar, make sure you hoard up the Golden Temple. You know, show up there in Sacramento Kings sim jerseys.
Yeah,
Make you feel welcome.
I feel like he'll be pretty easy to spot with that size.
He's always easy to spot, but it should. I think now he should be spotted for a good reason, not just for being a tall guy.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. And speaking of tall guys, there's also that other piece of news.
Speaking of tall Punjabis.
Yeah, speaking of tall Punjabis, there's also that other news that came out that Satnam Singh, the hope of all of Indian basketball, has agreed to turn professional in an actually rather surprising move. What did you think of this, Karan?
I mean, it surprised me. Satnam obviously is a great talent. He's a 19-year-old, I think he's 7'2" or 7'3", out of a small village in Punjab. He's been playing at the IMG Academy in Florida for the last 5 years. And he just came out and said that he is foregoing college to make himself eligible for the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's quite... We'll see what happens. We'll see if his chances of making the NBA are better or worse than Sim Buller's.
Mm-hmm.
If he makes it, he'll be the first Indian national, the first Indian proper to be in the league. I spoke to Satnam at great length this morning, and I hope, I think I'll have a pretty interesting article on his views coming out for the readers in a few days. So that should be good.
That's awesome. Guys, please do check out Karan's blog or NBA India. Wherever this goes up, I'm sure there will be an article really worth reading. And we'll talk about Satnam in detail a little later, but I think now it's time to get to our special guest.
So I'm excited to introduce our guest for this episode of Hoop Darshan. It's Mr. Carlos Barroca. Mr. Barroca is currently the Senior Director of Basketball Operations for NBA India. And he has a very interesting life where he travels around India and spreads the positive message of NBA and basketball. Hi, Carlos. How are you doing?
It's my pleasure to be here. So let's talk about this beautiful game, which is a game of basketball. So I'm ready.
I mean, tell us a little bit about your job. You know, tell us what you have to do, where you have to travel, what kind of events you have to go to.
Well, mainly what we are doing in India, regardless of the basketball operation, is pretty much try to create the most beautiful concept of a grassroots program for the world. Because India is a new place, and what we are trying to build here, it's the biggest and the best program in the world of grassroots. So last year, we were able to reach almost 1 million children in six states of the country, and we are looking forward to keep working with a wonderful class of teachers and coaches of this country to keep improving the visibility and the quality of basketball among children.
Carlos, this is Kaushik. Thank you so much for joining us. I actually have a couple of interesting things to ask you about your background. You are from Portugal, and From what I know of Portugal, and I know this only through football, and because I am a Real Madrid fan, and I know Luis Figo, I know Jose Mourinho, I know Cristiano Ronaldo, and I know that it's a really, really big football country. Please tell us something about basketball in Portugal, because personally, I mean, I tried to keep in touch with the European game, but I cannot say that I'm an expert on or I know anything on Portuguese basketball. So please tell us what Portuguese basketball is about.
There's like two different stages of my life related to basketball and influence. The first one is growing up in Africa, in Mozambique, where basketball was the number one sport. So it was a fantastic connection with basketball. It was the most followed game, and everybody played basketball. And at the same time, I was at the time exposed to Indian culture, because on that part of Africa, there's like thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of Indian people. So I grew up eating samosas, see the ladies with keys, really enjoying a lot of culture of basketball. As a matter of fact, I had one of my first coaches was an Indian gentleman, and I remember his name, Parshotan or Parshotan, something like that. So I had a lot of Indian influence on my early age. And then when I returned to Portugal when I was 15 years old, I become a national player, represent the national team both in cadets and junior, and was really good years for basketball. So basketball in Portugal is after soccer. Soccer is sport, and then comes like the what we call the sports of the small arenas, like handball team, basketball. But usually we put basketball as the number two sport in the country. So it's a good position after soccer, which is the main game, or football, as we say, football. We are the second game in the country.
Okay, that's great to hear. It's kind of similar to India in the sense that we compete with cricket all the time and it's the number one sport. So it must be kind of familiar territory for you.
Now, I like this thing about this thing of competing. We shouldn't compete. The field of sports, space for everybody. So I don't think it's a question of competing. It's a question of offer the children another opportunity to do sports and try a different sport. There's a big amount of studies, especially between the Olympic players, Olympic athletes. Most of the Olympic athletes have been trying several sports until they are like 14, 15. So I think as adults, what we should have is a society with different doors and different windows so people can choose and try different abilities, either it is sports or music or singing or expression, give children opportunity. So I think this is where basketball is right now. Basketball in India should be competing with any other sports. All the sports are beautiful. For me, for example, I watch cricket games, I watch kabaddi games, I watch all kinds of games, and it's I'm adding things to my culture. So nothing to lose about having more opportunities for the children. And I think that's what basketball is about, with one grand advantage. You can play basketball in a very small space.
Yes,
and most of the
others,
you need a lot of space. So this is a game that kind of fit in one of the biggest countries in the world. I think India is ready for having great basketball. There's already a lot of good basketball out there. So we keep working together with all our partners to make it better everywhere.
That's a fascinating perspective. And I think that just hearing that, I'm so excited for the future of Indian basketball with somebody like you and your ideas up front. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm
Carlos,
to be here.
Carlos, we want to do something special on this. We want you to tell us a story. We want you to tell us a story about one special basketball experience that you've had in India so far. Something interesting, something really memorable. Is there anything out of your last? Maybe you've been in India about 8 months now, if I'm not wrong. So anything in that time that stood out?
8 months yesterday, you're right. Very precise. I think there's, I use some expressions that I learned in my life. One is basketball, short or tall, a game for all. Everybody can play. And that dimension of short or tall, also a dimension of rich or poor, everybody can play the game. And inside of the basketball court, it doesn't matter how much money or what your position. It's better how much skills you have, much ability you have to play the basketball game. I would share a little story about the city finals of Junior NBA Reliance program in Kolkata, where in order to the teachers and the coaches being able to use more players during the game, we create a rule that we kind of meet with the coaches and the teachers and told them, listen, on these games, everybody needs to play. So every court has to be five different players, so everybody plays pretty much the same equal time during the game, because we want to develop the players and the players. So what the teams that make to the final? These kids, they are from an orphanage. And I was looking for the teacher or the coach, so I couldn't see any adult with them. So I went to talk to them and say, who's your responsible? And one of the kids, under 16, 15 years old, I'm the captain. I said, fine. So can I share with you, where is your coach? Where is your teacher? Oh, we don't have it. We make the team on ourselves. Okay, great. Let's play the game. Explain the game. I told them that you cannot play zone. You have to play man to man. So he was kind of looking at me, what is that zone? What is that man to man? So I have to spend like a couple of weeks explaining that you have to guard your own player. You cannot just camping in the middle of the zone. And they, okay, we're going to try. And then I explained him the rules that every quarter you have to bring 2-5 players so everybody play the same time. And he gave me such a great example of, yes, I'm going to do it. His team played perfect. They had no shoes. And we were playing in a concrete. It was really rough. The other team, they had a coach. They have a teacher. They have sneakers. They have everything. Guess what? The team from the orphanage, they were the winners of the game.
Wow.
So
that shows that basketball, short or tall, is a game for all. Also showed me that basketball is for everybody. You can have the best pair of shoes and not knowing how to play the game, and you can play barefoot and really know how to play the game. So this is a reality. I mean, in a game, everybody can play. It doesn't matter that you are stronger, smaller, fat, skinny, if you have 8 pair of shoes on your feet or you have no shoes at all, everybody can play. That's beautiful, a basketball game.
Wow, that story just put a really big smile on my face, and I'm
it's
just
the beauty of basketball in India too. You know, you get people from all walks of life who get into the game.
Yeah, and speaking of India, Carlos, we wanted to ask you: is there something different or unique that you've noticed as a basketball habit in India? Do you see something that Indian players do differently compared to other parts of the world that you've seen the sport in?
What do you want, the good or the bad, or both?
Both, of course.
Let's start with the good stuff.
Yep.
The enthusiasm and the intensity for the game of basketball, it's difficult to compare to any other place in the world. You give the kids a chance to play, and they really compete. And being aggressive and being intense, it's something that you cannot buy and you cannot practice. You have to have it inside of you. So this is a great, 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 amazing quality.
Mm-hmm.
Passion, intensity, and be aggressive. So that is plus on basketball in India. Minus, I never saw, you guys maybe help me please to describe the pass, that every time someone rebounds the ball in defense, kind of put the ball behind and threw out the crazy pass all the way to the front of the I don't know the name for this, but I'm throwing the ball out there, so whatever is out there, just run, jump, and catch it.
It's like a slingshot.
How do you guys call it?
I'm not sure there is a name for it, but it's. I can totally relate to what you're saying.
I would say it's a slingshot outlet pass.
Catch it. So that's something that. Taking care of the ball, the basketball game is a game of stats. It's a game of percentage. It's a game of the team who turned the ball over less times is usually the team who wins the game. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't take risks. Yes, we should. But throwing the ball out there on the air, I mean, the level of success, I don't believe it's very high. Because defenders are also there running and be able to intercept the ball. So that's the thing that is really very strange. Other things, I would say, there's a tendency of not using all the bench. Even teachers or coaches of young players, they want to play with just 5 players throughout the game. So this is, in my opinion, it's not a way to develop the players. We need to have more players on the ground. So some things to work on. But overall, there's a very enthusiastic and passion, flavor around the game.
Carlos, I think your efforts with NBA in India on the grassroots, I think you're part of the movement of trying to help make these improvements for basketball in India, teach the youngsters how to play the game the right way, So tell us a little bit about the Reliance Foundation program and the NBA Jam events, and how are you hoping to expand these programs more around India?
Well, it becomes just an issue of resources. I think that these next couple of months, you guys will see how much more we want to do in both programs. So pretty much we have a program that we call Junior NBA Reliance Program that, as I said before, we had been in six states in the country, and next year we will probably go for the double. Next season we will go for the double of states. This next season we are going to over 30 cities. So everything that we are doing right now is pretty much put seeds on the ground, kind of get more and more people to touch the basketball game, touch the basketball, to try to put some hoops up there, and start to enjoy the spirit, the style of life, and the pleasure of playing this beautiful game.
Okay, Carlos, India, obviously, we have a large population. We come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, all sorts of backgrounds, like with that story that you... Sorry?
Is that right? You have a large population?
One thing that is always mentioned is, like, with such a big population, why are we not able to produce a decent basketball team and a lot of basketball players and so on? So, in your opinion, what do you think held us back, and what do you think are the main areas where we have to improve to change this scenario?
I don't have any secret. What I have, it's I'll say decades of experience of traveling around the world, helping people, help federations, helping programs, to develop the players. And India is not different. India has a large and great core of basketball players, both men and women. I did see in these 8 months here a lot of love for the game and a lot of talent. A lot. Is lacking now. There's no schedule. There's no daily base competition. There's some tournaments once in a while. There's no like weekly games. There's not a practice for the next week, practice for the next game. There's no kind of let's look back on the game of this past week and let's prepare for the next week. So. And that is kind of a simple picture, because if you have a schedule and you have like 20 games, you have to prepare. You have to do a piece. You have to do exhibition games before the season to practice. You have to start the season. You have goals for the rest of the season. And you practice because you have goals. That's great for the coaches, great for the teachers, great for the students, great for the players, because they know that they have to achieve something. They have to practice to get a spot on the team. They have to practice to do better next week. So this is something that needs to happen, because it's very difficult to get players motivated, coaches motivated, if you don't know when it's going to be your next game. So competition should be something scheduled and arranged, should be some happenings. So that's one of the things that India needs to happen. It's people try to do more thing. Another thing is international exposure. This needs to be a country more open to receive teams to come here to play, and also to have teams going from India to outside to play games and get experience. So that's something needs to be happening, more opening both ways.
Carlos, one of our best players in India, Satnam Singh Bhamra, I think you may have heard that he recently declared for the NBA draft. How far do you think that India is from having, if it's not him, any first NBA player? Do you think is that a reality that's close to us?
I will say that in these days, every kid in the world who has a dream should go for the dream. And the world today is a very small world. It's very easy, or it's much more easy to go study abroad. It's much more easy to travel. It's much more easy to get connections international. But there's one thing that in life, not just in basketball, in everything we do in life, it's like, do you want to be an NBA player? Are you willing to pay the price? So more than have, as experts saying that, well, I think there's potential, and I will say, yes, there's potential, a lot of potential out there. The question is, who wants to really pay the price to be there? Because that's the dream of every kid around the world. So every day there's kids wake up and they go to school, and as soon as they don't have nothing else to do, they're going to practice and practice and practice and practice and listen to the coaches, listen to the teachers, listen to, well, anybody that can help them. They are listening and listening and listening. I can tell you an example. When Tony Parker, which is obviously someone that related to basketball, will know. I was responsible for a camp some years ago in England, and in my team, the team that I was coaching, I have a point guard, a little guy from France, that he was maybe not the best player out there, definitely not the best point guard out there, but he was very intense. Every day after practice, he always come to me and ask me, "Coach, did you watch me closely? What can I do better? Where can I improve?" And I remember to talk to him about your form of shooting, because at the time his shooting was not really very good. The next time I saw this kid, he was playing for the San Antonio Spurs. So
wow.
He became a better player. He worked harder and harder. So in order to make it to the NBA, it's not just a question of size or a question of quickness. It's everything together. It's the commitment. It's the discipline. It's the really, I want to be an NBA player. It's not just the words. It's the meaning. It's the fact. It's the work hard. It's the ethic. It's the sweat. It's everything together. It's like putting priority on the top of everything, which that's the meaning of the word priority. Like, I want to be an NBA player. So, sometimes I see players saying, "Oh, I want to play in NBA." I say, "Okay, so you're gonna practice hard today?" "Oh no, today is my day off." "Okay, and tomorrow?" "Oh, tomorrow, I don't know. Maybe I'll have some time to practice on my own." So these guys will never make it to the NBA. So whenever someone asks me if there's Indian players who can make it to the NBA, I will reply to the question saying, "We have to ask the players." Because you can generate the best programs in the world, but that will come empty if the players don't want to pay the price to be there. So that needs to come from inside of them. There's talent out there, yes. There's quickness out there, yes. There's love for the game out there, yes. Now it's a question of putting all these together, work hard, having good coaching, have good teams, have good discipline to be better, quicker, every day.
Carlos, speaking of NBA players, we discussed about Sim Buller just a few minutes back. He's going to be visiting India in a few weeks. Will you be involved with this visit at all? And can you tell us, like, what is the agenda? What is the reason fans in India should be looking forward to this about?
He's coming to India as our guest. So we'll be arriving the first day of May, and he will be here for a week doing some personal things the hometown of his family, which is Ritzer. And he's also going to be involved in the first ever national elite camp during the NBA Lions Foundation that we're going to held in JP Greens in Gran Noida, where we're going to have under 40 kids, boys and girls, the best in the country, under 16, that we're going to put together, working with the great staff of coaches, players, and I think that we are setting an example, how can we do things great for basketball. This is all about the game. This is all about the players. So we are putting the first Indian descendant with kids from the country, that they are coming from all over the country, and put them together for 5 days to work with international coaches, Indian coaches, to Indian international players, males and females. So we're going to have a great camp, and Simular is our guest on the camp.
That's fantastic, and it's great for, you know, for kids here to see someone who's of their racial heritage, of their descent, who's made it to that level. How do you feel that somebody likes him, or hopefully if an Indian player makes it to the NBA, if one of our own makes it, like Satnam or somebody else, how do you feel a player like that can help increase the popularity of basketball in India?
Well, I give the answer to yourself. What happened in China after Yao Ming show up?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's crazy how much impact he had.
I mean, it's a changer of the game. I mean, Yao Ming becomes immediately the most voted player for the All-Star game, for example. Why? Because he has behind him the country with more population in the world. So the second most population in the world is India. So the moment that India can have players in NBA, this is going to be fantastic for the game. I'm looking forward. So my work every day is create the grassroots program, but not losing the illusion of the path of quality that we need to create for the children that start playing basketball, get in love with the game, and keep playing and develop their skills in basketball. So every day we work, not for the next basketball player in NBA, but we work to make the growth of the game. So we just love what we do every day, because these amazing children of this country, they truly love basketball.
Fantastic.
With that attitude, I think that India basketball is definitely going places, and just again, I mean, I'm at a loss of words to say how grateful as an Indian I am for having somebody like you to lead this sort of an effort. So, Carlos, to continue with the podcast, I have a little game for you. We started this game on the previous episode. It's called Rapid Fire. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of quick questions so that both of us and the listeners of this podcast get to know you a little bit better. Slightly offbeat, slightly quick questions. So are you up for that?
Yes, sure.
Sure. So, okay. So what is your favorite place in India so far?
My favorite place in India is India.
okay.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah, very diplomatic, and it doesn't work for the rest of the questions we need you to.
I fell in love in Kolkata. I fell in love in Delhi. I'm in love in Mumbai, Chennai, and Kerala. It's like a paradise. How do you say God's man? Something like that?
God's own country, yeah.
Yes. So this is a country with so many different things, but so many beautiful things. I don't know if you're going to have a question about food, so I'll leave that for your next question.
Yeah, we will. Okay, since you got to that, let me ask you, what's your favorite Indian food?
I'm getting fat since I'm in India, man, because it's a blessing. So the food is so good, from the food in the north to the chicken, how do you call that?
Butter chicken. Yes, thank you.
The fish in Canada. I mean, every place I go, it's like a pleasure every day. So it's difficult to say which is my favorite food, because I enjoy everything.
Okay, you've given us two very diplomatic answers. We're hoping you'll have something, you know, a little more solid for this one. So what do you think is currently the hotbed for basketball in India, or the best place for basketball in India?
I love the sense of the South. Say Chennai and Kerala. I can see a lot of grounds put up there and a lot of people playing basketball. I cannot guarantee it's the best place, but I can see there's a huge, huge amount of people and passion for the game.
All right. In your time in India, have you learned any Hindi or any of the other Indian languages?
Siddha?
Siddha?
When I want to say yes, I know I can say Also to salute people like namaste, namaskar, sasrikal, vanakam. So pretty much to try and also I learned an expression to ask people how are you. Komenache in Bengali. Komenache. Well, I'm learning little things, but it's one of the things that I'm preparing to do during the months of the monsoon. It's learning Hindi. So it's one of my plans for the months
Fantastic.
Of the monsoon. I want to learn Hindi. So I have that one in mind for this year.
Fantastic. If this is what you've learned in 8 months, I think that Hindi is going to be a breeze for you. On the complete other end of the spectrum, see, I can tell you that my Portuguese goes only so far as como você vai or obrigado or something like that. Have you taught people Portuguese here?
There's something I will tell you, my experience with people in India, now that you talk about language. My train-to-trainer with teachers, I travel. So I go to Punjab and I realize that, yes, there's some people speak English, but most of the people speak Punjabi. That if I am in Kolkata, a lot of people speak Bengali. That I am in Chennai and people speak Tamil. That I am in Kochi and they speak
Malayalam.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't speak English. So there's a... It's a great challenge for me because I love to communicate and communicate in a positive sense with people. So as a communicator, you have to find and fight against the lack of communication. So you find ways. So either is expression, either is teaching. Instead of teaching with a paper, you teach on the court and you show yourself what you want to teach. And teaching with smiles and teaching with positive feedback, regardless of the language that you speak, you will be able to communicate. So that's been a fantastic year for me because I had been able to go over the adversity of the language and really be able to teach people how to teach. That's fantastic.
That is really fantastic. Speaking of, you know, how much you love India, is there anything about Portugal that you miss?
Well, except for the children, I'm home. And I'm saying that not to be politically correct. It's that from the moment I arrive in India, I feel part of Africa in here. Like the colors, the services, the Indian food, of course, the colors of the streets, the colors of the saris of the ladies. Even the temperature, I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. It's people complain, oh, it's very, I mean, up like that in Africa. So part of me, it's absolutely comfortable here. It's like walking on shorts and sandals every day and meet people, dancing, listen music. It's fantastic. This is a beautiful, beautiful country. So besides my children, which is my family and my granddaughter, I mean, the rest is like a paradise. You guys have maybe no idea how beautiful your country is. There's everything here. People outside, they always talk a lot about the negative things in India. Oh, yes, there's negative things in India, but you know what? There's negative things in every country in the world that I had been visiting. But the good things in India are really very good. So let's work on the good things and try to make more of the bads disappear and the goods come up.
Excellent, excellent. Couple of quick questions about the NBA. Who do you think will win the playoffs this year?
Oh, for sure, the team that win the last game.
Oh man, it's so difficult to get answers out of you. And
Oh, I work over 25 years as a broadcaster, and the most beautiful thing, it's not you tell people it's gonna win, it's get people to talk about their passion for the game. And what NBA has that most of the sports don't have, most of the sports is like mathematical calculation. You see the rosters, you see the competitions, say, oh, this team, they're gonna win, or it's gonna be one of these two. And the beautiful thing about the basketball of NBA is that the season starts and everybody can be the champion. Now that we start the playoffs, so okay, there's 16 teams. Now they're not 16 teams because New Orleans, they already lost with Golden State, so they're just 15. But even the ones who are losing, if you call the coach right now or call the players and say you're down 0-3, can you still be the champion? And say, yeah, we work for that every day. So it's beautiful because every day new challenge comes. There's an injury, there's a player who have a bad day, there's a player who have a bad night, and things that doesn't work out. So there's like an open race for the championship. It's easy to talk about the obvious leaders of the season, like the Golden State, the San Antonio Spurs, who are the current champions, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Chicago Bulls. I mean, they are teams, but every team has its chance. So that's the most beautiful part of it. So that's why we all wake up early and watch the games on 26 because we want to see real time what's going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I also had another question, but I'm not going to ask you that because I have another question in mind that propped up in my head. So you've obviously seen a lot of NBA and you've obviously seen a lot of European basketball. And one of my personal passions or whatever is to compare different styles of basketball. And I love the European game. I feel like and I always end up rooting for players who play in the European game to succeed in the NBA because I just love the different way of thinking. So can you probably elaborate from a maybe coaching perspective, from a person who's been involved in the game, what are the contrasts in style and what is good in Europe that is not there in America, and what is good in America that is not there in Europe?
Well, every culture has influence on their role models, which is obvious, right? So what in the United States, because the physical ability of most of the players was that for a long time, there was like everybody was like Michael Jordan, everybody is like this, is like that, because there was a sense that being an athlete is enough. And it's not enough. You have to be an athlete, you have to be a fantastic athlete, but you have to have skills. For example, John Wooden was a famous coach, over 100 years old, that he coached Lew Alcindor at UCLA, University of California at Los Angeles. And he had been talking loudly about the basketball overseas and speak up in technique better than the American game. So there's like a, let's say the NBA game or the game of USA game is more flashy, it's more athletic, it's more quick. The game in Europe, like the Euro League or the best leagues in Europe, they're more taking control of the ball, taking care of the ball, and execute out to the perfection. But there's also an accompaniment on the rules, like in NBA, even have a zone. And in Europe, everybody can zone. And that changed a little bit of the game because you can really play in a way that you eliminate a lot of the strengths of the other team. So all the games have their beauty. So this is for me the main difference of the game. But I think there's an overall tendency around the world of taking not just the rules but the style of game, getting closer and closer. With the different rules that are in place right now from FIBA to NBA, I believe that in the near future there's going to be a merging of rules for not having a huge difference between one competition and the other.
That is true. That is true. That brings the end to the quick fire round, the rapid fire round that I had. So I'll let Karan say thank you officially because he's better than me at doing that. But I just wanted to say once again, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much for joining this this episode of Hoop Darshan. And we are very, very honored to have somebody as refreshing as you with ideas and as optimistic as you and as experienced as you taking India basketball in positive steps.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Carlos. I mean, I feel so energized just listening to you and your optimism. I think if you can move us through a Skype conversation, I shudder to think how good a job you must be doing with all the kids out on the basketball court and giving them the hope, you know, giving them the passion, passing it on from your end to them. So thanks a lot for being in India and thanks for joining us on this.
Thank you so much for inviting me. That was a truly pleasure. I'll be available for you guys anytime because I know how much you love the sports and the basketball game. And I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm just feeling a dream of my life that is inspiring to play. So as much as I can do, I think that everybody related to the sport can also help. So thank you guys for being always working also for the love of the game.
So that was Mr. Carlos Baroka, and he joined us for episode 4 of Hoop Darshan. It was great to have him here. Like, I feel it's midnight where I am, and I feel so energized. I want to go out and play ball now.
I have such a huge smile plastered on my face just listening to how optimistic his thoughts are, his way of approaching things. And I know I've said this a couple of times already in this episode, but seriously, if we have somebody like that heading our grassroots program, I can only see good things for Indian basketball. And this is very, very different from how the previous episode ended, where we're all very so somber about how things are. But it's fantastic to hear such refreshing attitude.
I was saying that it's quite fantastic that the NBA is focusing on the grassroots also, and not just on the urban elite in India. I think it would have been quite easy for them to just market to the NBA watching crowd as compared to the basketball playing crowd. And that's not always the same crowd. You know, those two Venn diagrams don't always clash.
Yep.
So it's great because this way you really get young kids who are passionate about the game. And what the NBA is doing in their programs, in the Reliance Foundation programs in Chennai or in Mumbai, is that they are introducing the NBA coaching style with coaches like Carlos and a few other international coaches that come in every program whenever they do this, in the schools like PT classes or PE classes, you know, the sports classes. So it's really cool. Like, you get to, during your basketball period in school, you just happen to have an NBA affiliated coach who comes and teaches you. And that's awesome. Like, I wish I was in school when this was happening.
That's so true. And I think that maybe, you know, ultimately NBA's goal is to monetize this whole place. But and I think that they're going about this grassroots route because of one other thing that Carlos mentioned, that just one Yao Ming sort of a story is enough to, you know, just completely explode basketball popularity here. And I even if, like, that is some sort of, I know this going by a very, like, corporate is evil sort of route, but even if that is the end result, right, what they're doing to just elevate basketball status in India is pretty amazing. And I really hope that, you know, that NBA player and that success story and everything else is just a matter of a couple of years or so.
I mean, yeah, the way I look at it, there's nothing wrong with personal gains in any of this because...
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because any personal gain is the group's gain. It's basketball's gain in India. And this is... Like, even for me, it's been my philosophy. Like, I have no problem promoting other competing writers or websites or whatever who are promoting basketball in India, because eventually, if the sports wins, all of us win.
Absolutely.
You know? So,
I completely agree.
And so I think it's great. And I think grassroots basketball has, in India, you know, a lot of people don't know how much we already have, actually. I think most of us have played basketball at amateur or whatever levels around India. And it's quite competitive. And the reason I've suddenly started talking about this is because Kaushik, you are playing in a, sounds like a very competitive tournament in basketball. tell us a little bit about that.
I've been playing this tournament since Friday. Actually, it came about very, very suddenly. Normally, this tournament happens in about August or September, and it's the B division league of our Karnataka State Basketball Championship. So what happens is that there is an A division with 10 teams, and they play in a league amongst each other. And then the next division is the B division, where we have, I believe, 12 teams. And it's always some sort of league and knockout format, where the two finalists will go to A division the following year, and the two, you know, worst teams from A division come down to B. And there's also a C division this way. So it's pretty amazing. And just the fact that, you know, a working professional like me still gets to play in tournaments like this, it's a pretty amazing. And so far, our team's been doing fantastic. We've got 3 wins out of 3, and we have 2 more league matches. And I think if we do that, we're in a position to be in a good position for promotion to A division. And I think that last year we came really close. We lost the semi-final in like the last couple of minutes. So if we just reach the final, we're in the higher division. Hopefully this year it will get better for us.
Yeah, so how soon do we see you wearing the Karnataka colors at the next senior national championship?
I'm afraid that time has like long passed. Maybe it never existed. But actually, one of my club's players, he did make it to the state men's team a couple of years ago. I believe the championship was held in Delhi. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you did go watch as well. And
the Delhi one, I was there. Yeah. Who was the player?
His name is Abhishek Ram. So shout out to this guy we call Sheikh, if he's okay. Listening. I know the rest of my clubmates, a couple of them do listen to this, so they'll be very happy that my team and my our best player got a shout out here. So he played.
That's awesome.
He played, and I think we have a very promising under 18, under 21 sort of kid as well. And he's right now actually in the Karnataka under 21 team, which is playing the under 21 nationals in Bombay. So
okay.
That's pretty awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
On that happy note, because when's your next game, by the way?
It's tomorrow evening.
It's tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
Good luck for the game, and I hope sometime on your journey to the finals of this tournament, we hear this, and we look back at this conversation in a happy way, because you're celebrating a championship.
Hey, thank you so much. I really hope we do as well. And on that note, I think we should, it's a great note to end this week's podcast. It's generally been a much happier, much more optimistic podcast than the previous one we had. Again, I would like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in, whether you're new and if this is the one that's getting you into Hoop Darshan, or whether you're a recurring listener from last time. Thank you all, one and the same. And please do find us on all sorts of social media and all sorts of podcasting platforms. Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. We're everywhere. You just have to search for Hoop Darshan and you'll find us. And if you could help us by, you know, spreading word, retweeting us, sharing our pages on Facebook and so on, that would be really, really useful as well. So thank you again for tuning in to episode 4 of Hoop Darshan. And thank you, Karan, once again for being a part of this. This was amazing.
Thanks. Thank you. It was awesome as usual.
Yeah.